than an immigrant walking to a room.
Hamilton, the exhibition world premiere in Chicago is April 26th, tomorrow, and Saturday the 27th. This isn't the show, and they ain't singing and dancing at this exhibit, but there is a new, have you been reading about this? Exhibition coming to Chicago, and I think it's a permanent exhibit about Hamilton, the experience, and I think that's fascinating and unique and maybe a bit risky. The producer, Jeffrey Sellers, on a phone line. Jeffrey, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you today?
Good afternoon, sir. I couldn't be better on this beautiful, sunny Chicago Thursday.
Now that's selling. I already like your attitude, sir.
Well, when you're on Northerly Island, the sun means a lot.
I read the review or the description of it from Chris Jones in the Tribune, and one of my takeaways was, yeah, it's on Northerly Island, so it's not, say, in the theater district, but then again, it's not a theater production. And he described it as intriguing, but also maybe a little risky on your part. Jeffrey, tell us what you all have done over there.
We have created a museum exhibition that captures the founding of the United States of America, our American Revolution, how we took 13 disparate colonies and sewed them together into the country we live in today. And what we really do is take our visitors on a journey from the St. Croix Trading Post, where Alexander Hamilton worked as a 15-year-old, and bring you all the way through his life and then the early years of the United States of America, landing, of course, on the grassy knoll in Weehawken, New Jersey, where he met his tragic fate in a duel with Aaron Burr. What I wanted to do is find a way to entertain, educate, and illuminate folks about why our democracy is so important. And though we have amazing musical numbers like the Battle of Yorktown in our show, I still had questions like, but how do you actually win a battle? And in this museum exhibit, we're going to actually bring the visitors into George Washington's war tent, bring them right over the table where they plan it out, and we're going to actually show you on what I call our giant illuminated risk board, like that board game we played as kids.
Right, I remember.
And we're going to show you how we beat General Cornwallis in Yorktown.
Is this a permanent exhibit, or how long is it going to be at Northerly Island?
I think we've announced that it's going to be here for about 4 months. It is meant to tour, and we have not yet set a date to close the exhibit yet.
Do you worry that people will expect more entertainment than education? They love the show, but there ain't going to be no singing and dancing here?
Yeah, but you know what? This is, you know, I feel like this is part museum, but it's also part funhouse. And I think that we have found a lot of really great ways to explain how we created this country. For example, we're going to show you how Alexander Hamilton created the assumption of state debt, which sounds really boring,
right,
with a Plinko game machine.
Where you drop
and
the
you
thing
as
down
the
and
visitor
it
are going to turn that crank and see that coin land and find out if you won money or you lost money through the assumption of state debt.
Yeah. Well, you don't know this about me, but 2 times a year I do a 2-person stage show with a guy who's either Teddy Roosevelt or Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, that's great.
And so in May 18th at the Tivoli Theater in the suburbs here, I'm going to be on stage with Thomas Jefferson, who, by the way, does not like your play one bit.
Yeah, but hey, come on, he has a really good part, and it's arguable he might even have one of the best numbers in the show.
I would put the King George number up there with it, but yeah, listen, he's a central figure, but I also think he might not like the way he's portrayed. I mean, against the backdrop of Alexander Hamilton, Jefferson doesn't fare well. They were not friends, those two.
They were not friends, but as we did learn, when push came to shove, Hamilton thought that Jefferson would be a more appropriate, effective, inspiring president than, of course, Aaron Burr.
Well, he's got that going for him. But, you know, here's, if I may, just to go down history road for a second, and that's kind of what your exhibit is about. You're right. Listen, I am proof. We've been doing a show like this for about 20 years, and we sell it out, and there's laughs, but there's also a real dialogue about what it means to be an American. And Jefferson tells us this whenever Hamilton comes up. He said he didn't trust you. He felt that you shouldn't have a direct vote, that we could usurp your vote. He didn't believe in the rabble. It was more up to these egalitarian types to make the decisions for us low-class folks. That's not America, says Jefferson.
Yeah, but there are always two sides to every story. And when you dip into your wallet and take out that credit card and make the kind of purchase that might buy dinner or might buy accessories for your new house, that is a financial system that was designed by Alexander Hamilton that we are still benefiting from today.
Hold on, I'm writing
this down. But beyond even me, you know, defending Hamilton or not, I think what you're bringing up is the great American experiment in which we need politicians who vociferously disagree with each other and fight for their ideas so that hopefully the best idea wins and then we all benefit.
Oh, that's just so eloquently put, and I couldn't agree with you more. And by the way, I'm going to mention that to him. I'm going to say, hey, most of the people that are going to be at our show pay with their credit cards. So I'm going to tell Jefferson, if it wasn't for Hamilton, we wouldn't even be here right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't think people realize, but when we were on the precipice of a complete financial meltdown in 2008, what would have melted the economy is the notion that there would have been no overnight credit, which means banks won't lend to each other overnight, which means the entire credit card industry would have shut down.
So you and I are having this conversation. So you are the producer of Hamilton.
Yes,
and
sir.
That's such a just a, you know, game-changing, entertaining thing. And it's been fantastically profitable. Did you all, when you started down that path, ever think that you would then be doing this sort of historical museum piece?
Not on your life. I thought we were just making a good show. And what Hamilton revealed was that more than just making a good show, we were illuminating history in a way that was teaching people in a fun and dynamic way about history that they had never been taught before. So it became an educational vehicle that I never really anticipated would be so powerful. And it also became an inspirational vehicle that really shows us how what we share as Americans in our values is so much deeper than our differences politically.
Well, let's hope so. And so did you have an epiphany, or was it Lin-Manuel was there a point where somebody said, wow, this is a great show, we need to do more, we almost have an obligation to turn this fun into something even more meaningful, more thoughtful?
Well, it was some of my theater colleagues who had already ventured into this burgeoning museum business, and they brought me the idea saying you could do an amazing exhibit that would be both history and entertainment. And then what I thought was, A, this will be a great adjunct to our very powerful education program in which we're bringing 250,000 kids to see Hamilton all over America over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And it would really give our visitors this fun experience of not just sitting in a seat, but literally walking through the American Revolution, walking through the creation of the 13 United States of America that launch our country. And then, of course, being able to stand on that grassy perch where that sad, tragic duel took place.
Okay,
this is your chance to be in it.
Here's a bad idea. No, well played. But here's a bad idea.
Yeah.
somewhere in the exhibit, maybe on the lawn over there, because they got some green space over there at Northerly Island. You have a long lawn, and people get to duel. You know, you get to.
That's the bad idea, no question. But I will sell you a panini after you finish the museum, and you can have a very nice panini with your wife or your husband or your children and look at the incredible skyline of Chicago just over the way.
One last question. Bravo to you. Good luck to you. Are you worried at all that this won't take, though, that it's inspired, but people don't do that? What do you think about that?
Sure. Anytime we set out to make something new, I'm always worried, but I always follow my heart, which is that, can I make something that gives me a good time, that I find to be entertaining and fun and inspiring? And if I please myself, then I've done my job, and I hope that others follow.
Somebody texted in at the beginning of the Broadway show, two ropes are draped across the stage. I didn't get it. What's that all about?
Two ropes are draped across the stage. They're not draped across, but what we do is we have what is called a portal, which is around the proscenium, and we have these very old wooden beams, and some of those ropes are bound together with rope, which shows a country under construction, which is what we still are.
And my last question is, were you involved at all in the casting and the kinds of people that played the roles?
Of course. And I want to say that when author Lin-Manuel Miranda and director Thomas Kail first started sharing with me all of the songs, and we did our first teeny little read-through in a very small room up in Manhattan, they immediately started using their friends to play those roles, and they were all the folks who could do this kind of hip-hop, and it just made perfect sense that they were women and men of color. And we followed the text, and the text required that, and then it just made perfect sense that here we were doing America yesterday as told by America today.
So there was a little duality, right? There was a message in the casting itself, though.
There winds up being a message without even having to state it, but what makes perfect sense is that the principal communication tool in this, which is rap, is an African-American art form formed in the late 70s and the early 80s. So it made perfect sense that we used African-Americans and other folks of color to play these roles.
Right. If there's any incongruity in that in people's mind, how incongruous would it be to see white people maybe singing and dancing that way, too? That's not a perfect fit either, is it?
Well, you know what? What we're finding out is that the best way to tell these stories is through the natural melting pot that is our country.
You are out of time. I am out of time. Well, I'm just really anxious to see it. So the ribbon cutting is, I think, going to be, is it tomorrow or Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to, Lin-Manuel will be here to cut the ribbon tomorrow night at 5, and we open the doors to the Chicago citizens and visitors tomorrow, at Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
The website is HamiltonExhibition.com. It's at Northerly Island, right on the lake, HamiltonExhibition.com. What a pleasure to visit with you, Jeffrey. Congratulations, and what I think is going to be a real successful run here in Chicago and on the road, too. Thanks for joining us.
What a pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
Jeffrey Seller is the producer of Hamilton and obviously one of the key players in this exhibit.